When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What's up, Open Floor Globe?
I'm your host, Michael the Pod Pina, and I'm joined on the other line for the second time this week by my good friend, Sports Illustrated staff writer, Rohan Nadkarni. Rohan, this is our last episode of 2021. It has been a glorious year. I'm curious, do you have any resolutions as we head into 2022?
Oh, that's interesting. Not really. I've never really been a big resolutions guy. I feel like that's not something my people do. I'm just really hoping that I'm just hoping that it stops raining in Los Angeles. Like, I would like to go for a walk again. It's been raining here almost this entire week. This is not what happens in Los Angeles. This is not why I moved to Los Angeles. It's not why I moved to this country, frankly, is to live in LA and deal with the rain. So that's really at the forefront of my mind right now, Michael, is I'd love to just be able to walk outside again.
Escaping unwanted weather patterns is the resolution,
that's,
I guess.
Right.
Is that what I'm hearing?
That's right,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, mine really quick. I think, you know, I like to think of myself as an avid book reader. I really slacked off this past year for a variety of reasons. So modestly, I'm trying to read 25 books in 2022.
Good for you.
We'll see how that goes.
I'm not saying that people don't continue to evolve as they grow older, but don't you think at some point, like, do you really need a New Year's resolution at some point in your life? Like, shouldn't you just be doing that thing? Do you really got to wait till the new year? The book thing is a little bit different, but I just feel like at some point in your life, you get too old to have a New Year's resolution, in my opinion.
Frankly, I'm not prepared to have a philosophical discussion with you about this.
Okay.
Haven't given it that much thought, but yes, I think everyone should try to be their best selves 365 days of the year is my stance. So, Rohan, as promised, today will be a massive mailbag episode. But before we begin, a quick reminder to please keep your emails coming to openfloormail@gmail.com. That's openfloormail@gmail.com. Also, I quickly want to say on behalf of Chris Herring and you, Rohan, and Shelby, our producer, and everyone else at SI who helps make the show possible, just thank you so much to the Open Floor Globe. I'm personally so grateful to engage with all you guys and girls Everyone who writes in, everyone who listens, you're all awesome and help make this podcast such a joyous experience for me. So I just wanted to say that as we kind of close out the year. Rohan, do you have any words?
Yeah, I just want to echo that. You know, I got to join the podcast this year. I was a longtime listener. It's been so much fun doing the show with you, Mike. I know like a couple episodes ago, things got pretty heated on here. I just want everyone to know Mike and I are friends. We text outside the show. We just love talking about basketball. And like, thanks to everyone who engages with the show. People have been so welcoming since I joined. It means a lot. It's so great to see the emails, the DMs, the tweets, etc. It's a ton of fun, and we wouldn't enjoy doing the show as much if we didn't get so much engagement from the people who listen. So thank you to everyone. Like, anyone who ever tweets us or whatever, like, we love it. It's so fun. It's great to know that people are listening. And we also love hearing everyone's opinions. That's a thing. It's like, we don't do the show. I don't think we've ever done the show in the spirit of we're telling you the facts. Like, we're just talking about basketball the way that we just talk about basketball the way we talk about basketball when we're texting each other or whatever. And
that's true.
The people who email us, like, your opinions are just as valid. So thank you to everyone who just engages with the show. It's a lot of fun.
We are a podcast full of misinformation, so do not come here for facts.
Yeah, that's
do not,
right, yeah.
Yeah, do not do that. Not recommended. So before we open...
Mike has you believing the Celtics are relevant. You know what I mean?
You know, I think that your resolution should be to be nicer to me. That's what I think should be your resolution. Okay. Now that you are just coming off the top rope.
Okay.
From the jump.
Well, we got it. You sent me an email this morning that I don't think we're getting to on the show, that someone accused me of making this a Heat podcast. And I feel like I go so far to not bring them up every episode that I'm kind of like, well, if that's the rep, then I might as well lean in. You know what I mean?
That was a great email. It came in a little under the wire, or I guess over the wire.
Past the wire, after the wire. Yeah. Together. Yeah.
Yes,
I
exactly.
Don't know.
Yeah. I don't understand what that saying means. But shout out to who wrote that email? Now we're just like Stavros, I believe. Yes, longtime emailer and amazing person. Okay, so before we actually open up the mailbag here, I wanted to have a quick discussion about the All-Star game, because voting is now officially open. It's a little early before the teams will officially be selected or anything like that. But just talking about the starters and everything that we've seen so far, I thought it would be really fun just to, give our five player teams for the Eastern and Western conferences and just like see where we are. Because, I don't know, I just always enjoy doing this. I love picking hypothetical all-star teams. And I feel like usually it's obvious with the starters. And this year, I don't think it's obvious. I think there's
tricky this year because some people have missed time. And yeah.
Right. 100%. And usually, I don't know, like I just feel like, especially last year, it was just like so many locks. Yes. And there's a few locks for sure this year, but there's also some fresh faces and some interesting names, and I think it'll be a fun little conversation to kick the show off. So,
do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Why don't you tell me? So we're gonna do it like it's officially done in the NBA. So we'll have two backcourt, three front court for the Eastern and the Western conferences. So why don't you, Rohan, why don't you tell me your Eastern Conference team? And then
so
we'll kind of
my
go from
East
there.
My East front court is locked. The East front court, I think, is I think you gotta go Giannis, Durant, and Embiid.
Correct.
I think
that is what I have as well.
Yes, when Embiid's been healthy, he's been great. The backcourt in the East, I think, is a little bit tricky. Like, Tatum hasn't had a great season, but he's had, for his standards, but I think he's all-star numbers. I think Jimmy Butler, when healthy, has been one of the better players in the conference, but do you think he's played enough games? to get a backcourt nod. I mean, like, there's all this talk about, like, Harden is quote-unquote washed, but you look at his numbers, they're still great numbers. He's still, I think, generally agreed.
He's relatively slumping. He's definitely not washed, like, in the... He's an honorable mention for me. Like, he's still very good.
But I know that you are, like, you know, the conductor of the Darius Garland train. You're like Denzel in the movie Unstoppable. You're like, I'm driving this train backwards on the track at max speed. Like, that's how in control you are of the Darius Garland train.
So, but Denzel in that movie was trying to stop the train. To be fair,
he was trying to stop a second train while recklessly driving his own train. So you're using your Darius Garland train to block all these other, but because it's my team, I'm gonna go Butler and Tatum in my backcourt and kind of fudge it a little bit there.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. This is a stunner to me.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think Tatum should be considered in the backcourt.
Wow. I mean, he's like, oh, I see what you're saying.
He's 6'10", and he guards forwards.
You think
he's
a forward? Yeah, that's a tough one. You think it's not... I can't put him at shooting guard? I can't sneak him in there?
He doesn't play that position, so...
I mean, who plays that... You think it's Jaylen Brown? Like, who plays that position for them?
Yeah, I mean, Jaylen Brown has traditionally, like, guarded... I mean, look... I don't
That's the thing.
Get
it's
into
just
a
like
position
right, role. Right. But it's like it's just so silly to be like Jaylen Brown is the shooting guard and Jason Tatum is a small four. Yeah, Mike. I guess you're just a stickler for the rules, and everybody loves that guy. So I guess okay. 100%. If you're not letting me put Jason Tatum, I'll put Trae Young in there.
Okay. Trae Young.
You know what?
But
the real. It's really tough to leave DeRozan off the starters.
Correct. He is a starter for me.
Do you have him in the front court or back court?
Back court. So
okay, hold on.
He's a two guard. What?
I don't think he is.
So,
you can't tell me I can't use Tatum, but then you use DeRozan in the back court.
No, that's, so... I'll look. I'll give you the like. I'll give you Jimmy Butler as a backcourt player because he initiates offense. He guards multiple positions, etc. DeRozan does the same thing. Like Tatum doesn't really do that.
Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine is their backcourt.
Okay, this is like DeRozan's going to be eligible in the backcourt. When we're able to pick. This is just, hey, I'm going by what the NBA says.
Have you seen him in the backcourt? Is that confirmed fact?
You're overcomplicating a very simple process, my
okay.
friend.
All right, Mike. Let me just lock in my five, whether or not it fits the NBA's voting guidelines, which I am apparently taking issue with today. But I'll go with my five as Trae Young, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Joel Embiid, even though, once again, this is a protest vote. I want to make it clear that this is a protest vote. I do not agree with the guidelines being set forth by the NBA. I will be writing a open letter to Adam Silver, but those are my five, and I believe that they're positionally correct, whether or not the NBA agrees with me. Mike, who's your East team?
Okay, so mine is Trae Young, DeMar DeRozan, Giannis, KD, Embiid, and we took a short detour, and I have looked up to see how the NBA is actually doing it, and so Tatum is front court, not back court. Jimmy Butler is also front court, not back court, and I believe in the past he was eligible for both, so I don't know.
Right, I don't exactly know how... What... I'm not actually going to get mad at you for putting DeRozan in the backcourt. All I'll say is I just don't know the logic between putting DeRozan in the backcourt and not Butler when DeRozan plays with Lonzo and LaVine, who are also listed in the backcourt. And it just the logic there is nonsensical to me, which to me is an argument for just getting rid of the distinctions, or just calling or putting like make it one front court and four swing. I don't know, because this is to me, how do you have three backcourt players that all start listed for the Bulls, but then you don't put Jimmy Butler? But anyway, let's not get caught up in the positional distinctions. Tell me about your team and why you picked it.
Too late. So, yeah. So when I was putting this together, like I said, I think that the front court is pretty rock solid. I want to shout out Jared Allen. And thought about like, look, I think he should be an all-star. Just no one in their right mind is going to like pick Jared Allen over Joel Embiid if you watch the NBA. Like I understand that. Well, right now, Jared Allen is out in health and safety protocols himself, so he's missing some time. They're a very good team, but just Embiid is like, he's just a monster and totally unstoppable. And yeah, it's just not even close. So came there pretty easily for, like, I have DeRozan as a, he was like kind of a lock for me. Like,
I mean, DeRozan, just, I think, could finish top five in MVP voting.
Yeah, he's incredible. So the season that he's had is, yeah, I think he's the best player on the Bulls. The Bulls are the second best record right now in the Eastern Conference, and they've just been super consistent despite all of the hardship that they've had to face. And he's a humongous reason for that. So I want to shout out DeMar, and he's not as much of a lock as KD or Giannis, but when he's penciling things in, I was like, right, he was the first name I put in for the backcourt. And then it's like LaVine has a case for sure. Tremendous season from him, super efficient. I personally am going with Trey because it's like Trey, look, the Atlanta Hawks are one of the most disappointing teams in the NBA. We're recording this one day after the Bulls just absolutely decimated Trae Young's Hawks. And I shouldn't even say Trae Young's Hawks because he didn't even know who some of the players were who were on the court with him throughout that game, which is just, it kind of speaks to how funky this whole exercise even is in this season. But look, Trae's one of the best scorers in the NBA. He's leads the NBA in assist rate, sets everybody up, one of the best passers alive. And when I just am looking at that particular comparison, LaVine and Trey, it's like one guy is just an elite playmaker and really elevates everybody around him. Not that Zach LaVine is like a selfish score first guy, but he's just, he doesn't have that quite in his game. It's not really what I associate too much with him. So that's where the edge kind of went to Trey for me, and it wasn't that close. And we mentioned Harden already, and Beal is just not even in this conversation.
I mean, it's important to note that we're only talking starters, right? Because there's a lot of guys. I mean, I didn't have DeRozan on a team. I mentioned, I think he's going to be top five at MVP voting. There's a lot of players who are going to be all-stars. It's just obviously they all can't start. So, but I'm with you. I think that the guys that we've talked about, I mean, I obviously put Jimmy in there as a homer pick. I think that realistically, I think Young, DeRozan, Giannis, Durant, and Embiid, I think that's going to be the five. If I had to, if it was a prediction, I would predict those guys as the five.
Thank you. Yes. I would also predict those guys as the five. So okay, let's jump to the West real quick. And this is treacherous, I gotta say.
It is. I mean, I think there are three locks. I think there are three locks. I think that
Who do you think are the locks?
Jokic, Stephen Curry, and LeBron James. I think have to be in there. There's no question in my mind. I mean, LeBron, I think is the counting stats are just going to be nuts, and he's on a kind of an offensive hot streak, especially right now. Jokic is an MVP candidate. Steph is an MVP candidate. Then it gets tricky. I mean, I think Paul George is a great case. No, I mean,
make the case. Like, please make the case.
I mean, he's 10th in scoring, and I think he's one of the best defenders on one of the best defensive teams in the league. So, I think I might put Donovan Mitchell in my backcourt as well. Because I think you got, yes. I think you need a jazz man on there, as they like to say. So, yeah, I think I'm doing Paul George and Donovan Mitchell as my other two next to Steph, Jokic, and LeBron.
Paul George in the front court, so.
That's so. Right, yeah.
Yes. Okay, I got you. Okay, that's so I have Donovan in my backcourt as well. He's like when I'm trying to look at every other candidate be next to Steph in the backcourt, it was Donovan, it was Chris Paul, mm-hmm. and it was Ja Morant, and if Ja didn't get hurt, mm-hmm. he would be a starter for me, and not even close.
Yes.
Donovan has he's shooting like 55% on twos. He's one of the most efficient pick and roll playmakers in the whole league this year. He's just gone up another level, and the Jazz have the best offense like of all time. So
exactly.
he's head and shoulders almost above even those guys when you just look at the total resumes. Yeah. And Devin Booker
Devin Booker. There's a lot of great guards, obviously. The Jazz record, and as you mentioned, their offense is like far and away the best offense in the league, and that was a huge kind of differentiator for me.
Yeah, so I did not have Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
The rationale there is just he's just not efficient this year, and relative to everybody else, you know, he's also hurt now, and I don't know when
he's coming
back.
Yeah, that's true. He's not even going to play. No, that's fair. That's fair. No, you're right. The 3-point shooting's way down, and
Yeah, so didn't really even consider him, to be honest, given some of the other possible candidates. I ultimately went with Kat as my third front court player.
Right.
He's been
really,
incredible.
Really good.
Like, really awesome season from him, shooting the crap out of the ball yet again. And Minnesota's defense has been like pretty good with him on the floor, which we've talked about quite a bit. The last honorable mention, and I think that a lot of people in Salt Lake City will be upset. Rudy Gobert, honorable mention for me. I just think I like Cat's season a little bit more.
Here's where it came down for me was I was between George and Gobert. Honestly, Cat's obviously been great. I always look at it as I know they put three front court, but realistically, I feel like there's kind of a gentleman's agreement or a kind of an unspoken rule. Like, you really only want to put one center in the starting lineup. Like, it's just kind of the way it shakes out. And I didn't want to have Jokic and Gobert on there. And then I was like, I just don't like it when it's like three really big bigs. So that's why I ended up with PG, but I think Kat is probably, once again, I think if it was a prediction, I think Kat is, I would be surprised if he didn't start this year just because of how much of a surprise the Wolves have been to a degree as well. So I think those are I think you picked the 10 guys who are going to make it.
Thank you. Your big man discrimination is just, it's unfounded and frankly a little disgusting, I gotta say.
That, you know how I feel about big men. Don't do this. Don't do this. I literally was texting you about power forwards last night. The league has gone soft. Analytics has ruined the game. Bring back Zach Randolph. Bring back David West. Bring back Antonio McDyess. But until then, you know, you gotta see where the league is headed, and that's all I did with my team.
Okay, so this is awesome.
Can I just give one quick shout out to Paul George, though?
You already did. You put him on your team.
I know, but I'm just saying, listen, I know the efficiency's down, but he's really been playing great defense, and I think we both expected the Clippers to be pretty good, even despite the Kawhi injury. But that doesn't mean there's not like a big degree of difficulty that they're playing with. I mean, Morris and Ibaka were missing for a lot of the season. And I just think PG's
look at his
really
usage.
Shouldered the responsibility there really well. And he's not gotten a ton of credit for it. So shout out to Paul George.
Fourth in usage behind Luka, Trey, and Giannis. Mm-hmm. Crazy burden for sure. It's just, I just don't think he's... I think, you know, when we talk about... We have the wider discussion about who's an all-star. If he were to come back, and... I just don't think he's going to make it this year because
right.
of
no,
the injury.
I don't think so either. No, I think you're right.
But, yes, shout-out to Paul George, always. He's a great basketball player.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Okay, so let's now open up the mailbag. We're going to start with this email from Aaron. Very fun email. He writes, "Hey fellas, longtime listener of the old regime who's been pleasantly surprised with what you've done with the show, keeping the familiar open floor spirit while injecting your own flavor. Well done. In a recent episode, Rohan mentioned something along the lines of Spider-Man being the most highly anticipated movie of the year, which caught me by surprise. Rohan had previously doled out praise for the movie Heat and tongue-in-cheek praise for Takers, so I felt like our taste in movies was somewhat aligned. That got me thinking. What's one thing a basketball fan can praise that completely shifts your opinion of them as a fan? For me, it was any non-Houston resident praising James Harden's, quote, mastery drawing fouls. The idea of Harden in the lab over the summer practicing ways to make the refs think he was fouled while Steph worked on his handle and Dame extended his range was always a joke, as are the majority of today's comic book movies, excluding the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy. P.S. Rohan, how can the most anticipated movie of the year be anything other than The Matrix? Aaron in Oakland.
Can I quickly answer why the most anticipated movie of the year was not The Matrix Resurrections? Was the Matrix Revolutions exists? Like, that last movie was bad? I don't know. Like, I understand that, like, nostalgia is a big thing now, and it's a theme of the movie, and we're not going to get into a discussion about The Matrix, but yeah, it's because the first movie was outstanding, and then they got worse as they went on. So that's why I think that there was a... I was excited to see The Matrix. I enjoyed the movie, but I think there was a lot of rightful hesitation because of how badly the last one ended and the poor taste it left in everyone's mouth. Also, you know, Mike, we had a brief discussion about this question before we started the podcast. I think you can like good movies and bad movies. Like, I love Heat, you know? I love Last Black Man in San Francisco, but like Spider-Man, I also love the spectacle of seeing a crazy movie, you know? There's a lot of rumors about who is going to be involved in this one. So, yeah, I apologize, Aaron, if that opinion ruins your feelings toward my movie taste. But, you know, there's a lot of great movies I love, a lot of comic book movies I love. You know, they all have a place in my heart, even if they're not, you know, the same level artistically. That doesn't mean that you're not having a good time in the theater.
Sure. I'm glad you cleared all that up, Rohan. So to answer the question,
I answered the question. I'll just throw that out there.
Sure. No, I'll actually answer the question, and then you can give your real answer. So
threw a PS.
Okay. So, to me, anyone who any basketball fan who doesn't think that Kevin Garnett can win a one-on-one tournament has suffered a debilitating brain injury, and right. I hope they find the help they need. Beyond that, my actual serious answer is probably anyone who thinks Russell Westbrook deserved to win MVP in 2017, and that extends to now, where I know we pick on Russ quite a bit, but like now when I hear people show surprise that the Lakers stink, I just don't understand where you've been and what basketball you've been watching the past few years. And like the ceiling was so clear to me coming into this season, and the fit was always so bad. And we're recording this a day after the Lakers lost to the Grizzlies in a game in which it ended with Russell Westbrook wide open and ignored by his own team. Malik Monk looked at him and decided to dribble into a pass to LeBron and then an eventual Lakers turnover, and the Lakers lost. He was ignored by his own team. He was completely ignored by the Grizzlies, who just had absolutely no respect for him in the corner. And look, like, it's only going to get worse. That's the playoffs. If the Lakers make the playoffs, like, that's what he's going to be doing in crunch time, being ignored in the corner. So we knew this was going to happen. And for people to be genuinely stunned despite the warnings ahead of time, I'm kind of like, what's going on here? And that's my answer to Aaron's question.
Well, Mike, you'll be devastated to know that, like, I honestly don't have a problem with Russ winning MVP when he did. I just, like, I don't hold that award to be so sacred the way some people do. And I honestly, like, thought it was kind of cool.
This doesn't surprise me. This doesn't surprise
me. I just think the guy was, like, I'm averaging a triple-double out of spite is, like, funny. And, like, I don't mind that he won MVP at all. Like, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. The things that turn me off immediately, anytime a basketball player is referred to as an asset, anytime someone is referred to as a contract we can flip, I hate that. One time I remember watching a Heat-Lakers game in Dwayne Wade's last season, and it was obvious that down the stretch, like, Dwayne Wade and LeBron were just kind of try to go back and forth. And someone was like, the Heat should really be getting Justice Winslow involved here. And I'm like, you lost the plot. Like, you forgot the reason why, like, basketball is cool. And it's not because, like, teams are trying to develop young players. So it's just like, I understand, like, it's a salary cap league and there is, like, an art to playing GM, etc. But, like, I just, like, can't get past the people who don't enjoy watching basketball players play basketball anymore, and are always just thinking about the next thing and the next asset, and people who are like, I love this contract for this team, and like that always means a player is underpaid. So that kind of stuff bothers me. It bothers me that people think any like title before 1980 is like relevant. I'm sorry.
All right. Sorry, but you've been ejected from the show.
I'm going to be honest. Like, Wilt Chamberlain's stats, like, just don't impress me. Maybe that's absurd.
These are some takes, my friend. Okay.
But it's just like, here's a story I will tell, okay? That genuinely sums up how I feel about a lot of the way people discuss a certain era of basketball, and I think that people dance around it, but people aren't really explicit with it. But one time I was doing a story on Meta World Peace, okay, and I was following him around for a day, and he sat down to do a TV interview, and this like person doing the TV interview is just such like a parody of a TV news person, like from a movie, like when they're trying to make the media seem like shady people in a movie, it would be this TV anchor. And she asked Meta World Peace, rather. She said, do you think the Malice in the Palace was the worst night in NBA history? And he said, what about all the nights they didn't let black players play? And she just was silent. Mm-hmm. She froze. She was not ready for that. Now, obviously, it wasn't quite that drastic every season before 1980. But
it is true. The NBA was integrated throughout the 70s.
Yes. But there, I don't think there's been a lot of, like, just great academic discussion about, like, the racial politics of the league. I think some people talk about it, and some people are able to talk about it well, but... And in all seriousness, like, some teams were ahead of others. Like, the Celtics, famously, they were ahead, even though, you know, Bill Russell maybe has his own complicated relationship with what was going on in the city at the time, but... Yeah, it's just an interesting history that I think touches all sports. It's not just basketball, all facets of American life. And, yeah, not to derail this discussion about bad basketball opinions, but that's just something that, like, people, like, don't talk about enough when they talk about some of, like, the great teams and players of the past.
I gotta say, I really enjoyed when... you prefaced this thoughtful recognition of the NBA's and professional sports in general, their pre-integration era by just completely ignoring Will Chamberlain. I like the shots of Will Chamberlain. I'm still like reeling. I don't know what the hell that has to do with anything.
I think Udonis Haslem would lock up Will. I would have left George Mikan off my NBA 75. Let me put it that way.
Udonis Haslem has never been an all-star, correct?
Sure. Is that true? Did he lock up Dirk in the 06 finals?
No.
You think but Dirk's been an MVP. Udonis still bodied him in the 06 finals.
Udonis Haslem has never been an all-star in his era.
Do you need to be an all-star?
He would not have been an all-star in any era. So you got to. This is two straight episodes.
Do you need to be an all-star? Udonis Haslem propaganda. Do you need to be an all-star to play good defense? That's all.
No, wonderful defender, no doubt about it. Needs to shave his head. It's okay.
No disrespect to the Mikan family, but he would not have made my NBA 75. George Mikan had no bag.
Okay. We are... yes, I thought that this was a great question. And
that's an outstanding question. Delivered. Can I answer a little bit more seriously?
I'm taking all your answers very seriously. So
I'm sure you are. The asset one is one that genuinely bothers me. That's a big one. You know what? That's actually probably the biggest. I'll leave that as kind of my serious answer. But anytime people are like, oh, assets, whatever, that one always bothers me. I mean, Russ is an easy one. The thing with Russ is that I honestly don't know who's calling him good anymore.
Do you go on Twitter?
But like,
people believe this, man.
At some point, do the opinions of like Lakers fan, like, you know, 06, 07, like, does that really matter at this point?
Well, look, like, I'm
it was one thing when he won MVP. But it's a little bit different now. Like the media is not necessarily behind Russ.
Well, yes and no. I think coming into this season, there were a lot of people in the media who are very smart who said, you know, this isn't a great fit, but look, LeBron and AD, if they're great, it won't matter. And, you know, I thought that, look, Russell Westbrook is just a really imposing force of nature who does, he's just a really tricky and prickly player and has a really non-fungible skill set. So it just did. It was always very questionable to me. And even as the season was going on, there have been a lot of caveats and excuses for the Lakers in their play, the injuries, the you know, whatever it may be. And I'm just like, it's just not going to work. Like, not everything can work just because. Right. Happy birthday to LeBron, who is a great player. ridiculous player who is still doing absolutely absurd things at the age of 37. No disrespect to him, of course, but like, look, there's some things that not even he can't overcome. And
yeah, I don't disagree. I still think that they have a shot with if they play 80 at center full
time to make the play in. To make the play in.
I think. Listen, I said on our preseason podcast where we had like kind of the whole SI gang together. I said it would not shock me if they went out in the first round. Howard Beck thought I was crazy. Shout out to Beck, absolute legend. It would not shock me if they went out in the first round. I still think they can create some problems with. I mean, I could try to look up the numbers when I'm feeling lazy, but I think AD at the five, they've been. It's workable, and I think that they can maybe figure something out. But that also means stop closing games with THT.
100%.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Okay, let's move on to this email from Kerry, who writes, "Hello, equally talented open floor crew. love the podcast and have for ages. My question, who is your most embarrassing favorite player? I'm a Wolves fan, and the first person I remember them drafting was Isaiah Rider. He is definitely my answer and was my favorite player until KG 2 years later. Thanks for your potting, Kerry." Kerry, this is an amazing question.
Great question.
I'm curious, Rohan, did you have did you have to think about this one, or did you just know instantly who you were going to go with?
I had to think about it in terms of who is Zach Randolph, I don't think is embarrassing, but it's like maybe you're trying too hard to be hipster, you know? But yeah, I wouldn't say I had to think about it too deep.
Okay, so I didn't either. My favorite player, I've said this many times before on the show, my favorite player growing up was David Robinson. Mm-hmm. Not embarrassed at all about that. He's incredible. Love David Robinson to this day. There were times during the David Robinson era when he was in San Antonio, of course, where my allegiance would shift to his teammates, where I'd be like, player X is now my favorite player because he's not, that wasn't him, but my guy Avery Johnson held that belt for at least like 2 years. And so much to the point where our family dog growing up, his middle name was Avery. My parents let me give him the middle name, not the first name.
Good work by the parents.
So that's how much I loved Avery Johnson and was a huge fan. You know, it's like when you're growing up, you're trying to find players who you can relate to on the court. And it's just like mm-hmm. someone who can't hit a jumper, who's really short, who's just like not turning it over, but not doing anything that great. That was me. So I really saw a lot of myself in Avery Johnson, and I am very embarrassed about all of this. So that's my answer. So what's your answer?
So for me, like my first exposure to the NBA was as a 5 or 6 year old booting up NBA courtside on the N64 with my brother. And I first would just like pick players based on their names and be like, this guy's cool, I'm gonna become a fan of them. So like Jamal Mashburn, Dan Marley, Hershey Hawkins. I was like, you told me they got a guy named Hershey? That's cool as hell. Like the chocolate bar, that's sick. So like, I just loved those guys. Like not knowing anything about their careers, like became a fan and then like retrofitted myself to being their fan and like looking up their career stats and whatnot. I mean, like, yeah, like Udonis and Mario Chalmers. I don't expect like anybody to understand why I like rationally like love those players, but I do. Like, I'm absolutely ride or die with Mario Chalmers. Like, an absolute hero in the 2013 Spurs series. Like, arguably, like, more instrumental to their success in that series than Dwayne Wade. He's obviously, I mean, it's embarrassing how much I like Dwayne Wade, certainly.
It is.
But, yeah, I mean, I think those were the names that came to my mind immediately. Shout out to Dan
Martin. So, sure. So, first of all, it's isn't it Hersey Hawkins? Not Hershey?
I think it might be. Yes.
Okay.
That's one of my five favorite moments.
What are my five favorite moments on the pod all year? Cracked in under the wire right there.
I meant to bring that up, but then I got sidetracked thinking about Udonis and Mario Chalmers. But that's an important postscript to the story, was that I was reading that incorrectly as a five-year-old.
Okay, so that was a wonderful, wonderful question and email from Carrie. Thanks so much, man. Next email comes in from Ryan, who writes, Rohan and Michael, I was enjoying your redraft immensely right up to the moment when Rohan said THT. And then Michael correctly interrupted with the appropriate THT stats. This is one of my biggest pet peeves, when average or poor players get hyped up because of their markets. Who are your top picks for the most overrated players due to their markets, and whose market leaves them the most undervalued for their production? This is a great email from Ryan. You don't think so? You're getting a little thin-skinned here.
I told you in our pre-show, I took offense to this question, because if you listen to our redraft episode, I simply literally just said the name THT as someone who went in the draft and we left off. I wasn't suggesting that he should have been a lottery pick. This idea that I was contributing to the THT overhyping, I think, is a little bit unfair. And I think Ryan just clearly wanted to get this takeoff, which I respect. But he had a better news peg than trying to claim that we were somehow contributing to the THT hype on that episode, when the only real discussion of him was why he didn't belong in the lottery. But it is an interesting exercise. I agree. It does lead to a good discussion, but I wanted to clear my own name. I wanted to tell my side of the story.
As you should. So I have, I'm going to give two players who I think, you know, play in markets right now that if they were on the Lakers or the Knicks, wherever, the Celtics, even the Sixers, just any bigger team, I feel like they would be like in our first conversation about all-star start. Well, one of them would be. The other one would not, but still needs more love. And they are, longtime listeners will not be surprised, DeJounte Murray, who is just like, look at his number. I know he's not as efficient as he probably should be to be an all-star, for sure. I understand all that, but like, he's such a tremendous two-way talent and so singular in everything that he does, and doesn't turn the ball over, just like prototypical point guard, but also rebounds, defends, he's up there in steals, he's in passing lanes, he'll lock you down multiple positions. I'm just a huge fan of his game, and he gets better every single year, and the three-point percentage is actually up this season on a higher volume. So I just feel like if he were even just like replacing Russell Westbrook, like the Lakers would be so much better. That's just and he would be deemed this incredible phenom.
Yes.
The other guy is Desmond Bane on the Memphis Grizzlies. Yes.
Bane was just my pick awesome. As well. Bane is sick.
He's just freaking awesome.
If Bane was on a true contender, I mean, even if he was on, like, the Suns, people would be freaking out about Desmond Bane. He's awesome.
He's so good. Love watching him play, too. and the Celtics traded him on draft night, which is, man, I can't even, I'm like struggling to go on with the show after bringing that up to my brain. But, okay, so let's talk, so who were some underrated guys that you had beyond Desmond Bane and DeJounte Murray?
Can I say something about this question? Because I do think it's interesting, just kind of like the nature of the hype. Because on one hand, I do think that every fan base has a guy that they get irrationally excited about. And I think that's okay. Like, I think Laker fans were like irrationally excited about THT, but I'm not mad at them for it. And I get it, but like, you know.
No, can I just say, the irrational hype around like Alex Caruso, right? Who's actually good. Turns out he's probably going to make an all defensive team.
Yeah.
And he deserves the hype. Why does THT deserve the hype?
I get it. It may, like, but it doesn't always pan out, and that's okay. That's all I'm saying is like, it's okay. And I just think that I get with THT, it was overrepresented because he plays for the Lakers. But it's also like, it's not just because it's the Lakers. The Lakers had some lean years last decade where I promise you no one cared about who was on their team. I think it has more to do with the fact that he's on a really good team, or a team that, not this team, this season, not really good. He just is a guy on a team that had really high expectations, and it just got a little out of hand. I just think the nature of like hype is interesting because there is fan hype, there's like local media hype, and then there's like the conversations basketball writers are having with one another. And I think we've now been in a phase where for months the conversations basketball writers or basketball people have been having with one another, no one is really that high on THT and has not been high on him in a little while. So, but I understand why fans might get frustrated. I'll just throw out Dorian Finney-Smith is a guy who I think if he played or like got to play deep into the playoffs, I think people would really, really love him. I think he's a star, but like Anthony Edwards should maybe be like, I know that's a weird pick, but he should like maybe be the biggest star in the NBA. Like personality wise alone, he is like an absolute revelation and is hilarious and is everything he like says turns to gold. He's incredible. I think in many ways he's the leader of that team. And like he gets a little bit lost just because he plays with Kat and because it's Minnesota, but I like he should be a gigantic star. So yeah, those were a couple guys that came to mind for me. But I do think it's interesting because I think a lot of fan bases have guys that they hype up and are probably better than most people believe, because even the best national guy, it can be hard to pick up sometimes on the nuances of why this player is so important to a particular team. It obviously hasn't panned out with THT, but it's just funny to me because I don't know who is still singing his praises, really. Like, I agree that there was a lot of hype, and obviously he got the contract over Caruso, etc., but like...
Oh, it'll take one game. Ron, it'll take one game. He'll score 16 points on 7 shots, and then I'll get 16 text messages from our colleague Jeremy Wu saying that he's a hooper. That's what's going to happen. Like,
wow, calling out Wu.
I got to call out Wu. I'm sorry, because that's just message that he sent. I don't even know when that was, but it's been like sticking in my brain.
Was he defending like THT? And, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was. We got the receipts. I got the receipts. We'll have to go back and
what about Jaylen Brown
further at some point?
East Coast THT.
Moving on to
Clam Chowder, Talen Horton Tucker, Jaylen Brown. What was he, 13-36 the other night? 0-6.
Maybe your worst statement as a human being.
Clam Chowder, Talen Horton Tucker, it was objectively hilarious.
It's up there. Okay, so let's talk about most overrated guys who play in the big markets beyond THD. We think we've covered him to death. Is there anyone else out there who plays for, I guess, like the and just any large market team who you feel just receives more attention than they otherwise deserve.
That's interesting. I guess I draw a distinction between like large market and contender, and sometimes there's just like a confluence of the two. I mean, if we really want to do this, like Julius Randle,
you gonna go
maybe.
There?
Julius Randle, maybe.
I'm not gonna lie, he's an honorable mention for me on this.
Here's the thing. I have like no desire to rob Knicks fans of any joy. Like last season was a incredibly fun season if you're a Knicks fan. Like if you're a Knicks fan, you should not care that I'm skeptical of Julius Randle repeating his performance. Like you should just enjoy the fact that that was an incredibly fun season. But I mean, the Knicks, sometimes it was like Kevin Knox was it for a little bit, Neil Aquino was it for a little bit, and it was like it feels like they're so quick to appoint kind of saviors sometime, and then sometimes the people fall out of, you know. But they also have really fun guys. Like Emmanuel Quickley's awesome, like, and maybe should be even more popular nationally. But
okay, so let me jump in. Emmanuel Quickley.
Yeah, please.
He's on my overrated list.
Oh,
what makes you think that he's so excellent?
I think it's more so that I think he's so fun. I'm not saying that he can't improve as a player. I also think that it's like, it's funny that he is like stuck so behind so many backcourt players that it, like, I don't know, maybe if he was in a place that like was trying to develop him a little bit more, he'd be a little bit different story. I just really like watching him play. I think he's a fun player.
It's like, in answering this question, it's really hard not to like call out
exactly
media members and stuff. I'm not like gonna do that at all. I just sometimes see stuff about him where I'm like, I imagine Emmanuel Quickley playing for, and I know how this industry works, so I'm not naive to it or anything, but like if Emmanuel Quickley was on the New Orleans Pelicans or on the Spurs or the Magic or whoever, it's like no one would be writing or talking about Emmanuel Quickley. It's just, that's just like,
like Rob Williams. I was just waiting for you to take a breath. Just waiting.
This is so slanderous. Continue.
Here's why I'm not killing anyone for this. It's because I have my own agenda.
I know you do.
And I'm reserving the right to become irrational about Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, and Caleb Martin.
No, I mean, I know you, like, I'm not even reading out the text that you send me about Gabe Vincent, who
I once
a poor man's Peyton Pritchard, but
oh my God, Gabe Vincent's already had so many better moments in the NBA than Peyton Pritchard. I think I texted Mike that Caleb Martin and Max Strus were what they thought Tatum and Brown were going to be.
And then it was something along those lines, and then
Dwayne Dedmon's the shooter they thought Aaron Nesmith was going to be. So, listen, all I'm going to say is Caleb Martin leading the Heat to a victory over the Bucks, the Heat winning all those games without Bam and Jimmy because of their undrafted guys, that's culture, Mike. That's culture, bro. And, you know, I'm going to let myself get irrationally excited about those guys, even if the national coastal elitists like you are going to get mad at me about it. It is what it is. I'm not going to not be excited about players that I enjoy watching play basketball.
That is your right, you know? That's perfectly fine. We are going...
Strus never missed 23 shots in a game.
I like Strus. He would be executed if he took 23 shots in a game because he's not allowed to do it because he's not as good. That's just how it works.
Spo is giving him the ultimate green light, him and Duncan.
He would be placed in jail.
No bad shots.
What is the name of the Miami Heat's arena these days? They change it like every 6 seconds.
Yeah, it's some crypto company. I refuse to like shout it out. Like, nah, it's some crypto thing. Like, good for them.
Well, they would bury Gabe Vincent or Max Strus under whatever this building is called if they were to ever play with the freedom that Jaylen Brown is allotted because he is superior in every way.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Okay, we have an email now from Christine, and this is actually it's technically multiple emails that I'm going to try to scrunch into one. Christine's upset.
Oh.
She writes in, "Hello. What is up with Wizards' new coach, Wes Unseld Jr., not giving any minutes to Davis Bertans this season? He has only played one game over 25 minutes and scored 21 points. 5 from 9 from deep. He's averaging 16 minutes per game. I get that he's not been shooting great so far, but the last 10 years of his career are evidence, and the way teams are still guarding him says that he's still a 40% three-point shooter. Why don't they just trade him if they don't know how to use him?" Christine then followed up a day later with, "Hi again. So the Washington Wizards just lost to Miami. Corey Kispert played 39 minutes. Davis Bertans played 21 minutes and hit 5 three-pointers and had a better game. Half of the Wizards roster is out with COVID, and Wes Unseld Jr. is still refusing to play Davis Bertans over 25 minutes, even when he's hot. For God's sake, why would you play a rookie over him? I gotta think it's something personal." Christine also then sent in a third email that said that she is Latvian, and that is a source of her discontent here. Shout out to Christine for that email. And, you know, we're not going to have a conversation about Davis Bertans playing time, but what I wanted to do was shift this into something a little more broad and ask you, Rohan, can you think of a player who you believe deserves more minutes than his coach is currently giving him, in the same vein as Davis Bertans is just getting buried on the bench relative to apparently his potential in the eyes of Christine?
It's going to take all my strength not to say Udonis here. The Lakers don't have great options, and I know that he's been like closing actually a lot recently. But I'm almost at the point where, like, they just need Malik Monk on the floor as much as possible over THT. And I believe they played down together on the stretch last night of that Grizzlies game. But that's someone who I think I'm a little bit nervous that once, like, the rotation fills out, he should not fall out. That was someone who came to mind. You're going to laugh, but, like, I always thought, and I was mentioning this to a Knicks fan, that quickly should play more in New York. Even if you don't think he's great or whatever the case may be, like, I just don't understand the idea of sticking behind so many vets. Like, I just think they give too many minutes to Rose and Kemba, who obviously have been, like, really good for that team. I just look at the Knicks.
Well, as Rose is out now forever, so.
Right. But, you know, they're starting, like, Kemba played 40 minutes his first game back in the rotation. I mean, quickly was also out in the health and safety protocols. But to me, it's just more about, like, the teams that I think sometimes don't give those young guys enough minutes. Especially, like, the Knicks, like, I think should be trying to develop some of their younger players. This one is not, I think, like, egregious in any sense of the word. And he does play. But I would like to see the Warriors give Kuminga more serious minutes with the best players on the team. Like, I want to see, like, a Kuminga, GP2, Steph, Dre, Clay, when Clay returns lineup. I'd like to see that lineup, like, get some serious run. Like, I just want to know what it looks like. So, I understand, like, the frustration.
That's a good answer.
Sometimes. Yeah, thank you. I understand the frustration sometimes for, you know, fans. Like, you want to see certain players play more, etc. Like, and it's, like, very easy to get on coaches for that and be like, oh, are you not looking at the lineup data? At the same time, like, they obviously see a lot of things we don't see, and they know the interpersonal dynamics, et cetera. It's not fun to do this podcast and be like, we have to defer to coaches every single time. Like, it's not fun to do it that way. But, yeah, those are some ones that come to mind.
No, as Christine says, sometimes it's just obviously a personal vendetta. That's just what that's what it is. That's what it's all about. Interpersonal relationships are very important in the NBA, and apparently Bertans is just really dropping the ball there with his head coach. So I want to go back to an episode that we had in the offseason, Rohan, and we were talking about Summer League, and I've been waiting for an opportunity to talk about the god, Alperen Şengün, who, baby Jokic,
you
dismissed this player as a talent because he was doing incredible things in Las Vegas.
You made it sound like he was Zion Williamson coming out of the freaking draft, dude.
He is incredible. Must be protected at all costs from the naysayers and the haters and the doubters like yourself. And the fact that he's only playing 18 minutes a game is just, it's criminal. The fact that Daniel Theis was in the starting lineup as long as he was over Şengün. Şengün has never been a starter yet. I don't know what the Rockets are waiting for. I know he turns the ball over a ton. I know he's not perfect. He's 19 years old. He'll give you some of the most entertaining, effective passes you'll see this side of Denver. I love him so much. He's a joy. I want you to apologize to me personally for your Şengün hatred. And
No.
He's my easy pick. He's my easy pick here.
After Summer League, you were talking about the Thunder passing on him like they'd picked Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan or something. You were like, this is a travesty. True. This is one of the greatest. Like, and here's the thing. I agree he should be playing more. There's no, again, like, he's a younger player on the team. You just drafted him. There's no reason that Theis should be playing more than him or was playing more than him. Like, that's silly. Like, develop your young guy. So I agree he should play more so we can know, you know, what he has. Like, let him learn in the fire. But, you know, the Rockets, the third worst team in the NBA, worst team in the West. Like, forgive me for, you know, even they were on like a huge win streak only to be like still the third worst team in the NBA. So, like, forgive me if I'm not, you know, falling out of my chair about Şengün. But, I mean, this is the problem.
Can I ask you?
No.
Can I ask you a question?
No, you can't. You can't. Okay. No. This is the problem, is that there are certain players and teams that are good that then get ruined by certain people who, like, go over the top, not dissimilar to THT, that the rational person like me, who's just trying to check the hype, not the player, starts to sound like a hater. Because I'm not a Şengün hater. I'm a hater of people like you, the way you talk about him.
So you're not a hater, you're a hater of people who are supportive of Şengün.
No, people who are going over the top. Like, because I'm sure his family are great people. I support them.
So I have a question for you, in all honesty.
Okay.
How many minutes of Şengün's season have you watched, Rohan? Because I know you're tweeting about the Dolphins constantly, and I just don't know when you're tuning in to Houston Rockets basketball. I got to be honest. I got to call you out.
I will say that Houston's probably one of the teams I watch the least. It's Houston – Orlando, Oklahoma City, and New Orleans. Like, I'm pretty confident of the four teams I've watched the least this season. I've weirdly seen a lot of the Pistons just because I like watching Cunningham. But I've seen a lot of Şengün highlights. I watch a lot of like condensed games or next day highlights. So I've seen like plenty of Şengün. Like, I've seen the summer league tape, bro. Like, that's not my opinion is not based on him. It's based entirely on you being annoying about him.
This is also why you don't watch Succession, because people tweet about it. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
You know, I think coming full circle, we've found what your New Year's resolution needs to be, Rohan. Shouldn't have access, so much real estate in your head. You got to just do what makes you happy, man.
And I do what I think makes that me watching, happy, and it's not watching feeling Şengün. The need to like to ride the wave of every like NBA hipster being like, oh, did you see Şengün and Poku last night? Like, come on, like, I don't need to pretend that like, yeah, man, I'll watch like Şengün when the Rockets are like, finally they got to double digit wins. Okay, maybe I'll watch a little bit more Şengün now, but like. I'm living life the way I want to, trust me, and that's not like riding the waves of like unchecked hype by the basketball coastal elitists who like are trying to tell me after summer league that like the Thunder. I mean, granted, I do think the Thunder regret not drafting Şengün. Like, they could use a front court, yeah, like, believe me, my problem is not with him. When I do watch him, I enjoy it, but. This just the way people talk about.
I think you have
him.
A problem.
I don't know how you're we right. could have the THT conversation we had, and then you listen to the way you talk about Şengün, and now like, and you don't see how like there's a straight line to be drawn between those two conversations.
I think what's happening here is you get upset at me because I am a symbol of your own insecurity. And your inability to watch and process and appreciate basketball players like Şengün. And that's okay. This is like a therapy session. We're getting somewhere. I'm really happy for you. This is a place of growth and development and progress. And I think that's a wonderful place for us to end today's episode.
I don't think it's a wonderful place for us to end today's episode. It absolutely calls for a rebuttal. I get it. Just because, you know, I don't know if it's because the Celtics have been so disappointing the last couple of years that you feel the need to, like, extra drown yourself in, like, the most NBA hipster take possible. I can appreciate Şengün properly for what he is, which is, like, a pretty, like, promising rookie, but I don't need to, like, lose my mind over him.
But the thing is, you do. 4 years ago, you were the guy who's like, why are people so excited about Jokic? Like, look at Nurkic. What's the deal? I don't understand.
That's not true at all.
That's you. That's you. 100%.
No one was on the Nuggets bandwagon earlier than me. I think I've picked them to win the finals like 5 years in a row. Check the tape, like November 2017 out in Denver, just talking about the Nuggets. Like, no one was on the Nuggets bandwagon earlier than me. You know, the proof is in the article archive. So what I'm able to do that you're not able to do, Mike, is discern my tastes. Okay. I'm able to pick and choose. I get you want to cover all the bases. And that's not me. I'm okay being able to make a distinction.
In the wise words of Jay-Z, we don't believe you. You need more people, Rohan. And on that note, I want to say thank you to you, Rohan. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to Shelby. Seriously, shout out to Shelby, who has been a tremendous producer for every episode that we've recorded all year. Applause to you. And a quick reminder, we'll be back in the new year, but please keep the emails coming. openfloormail@gmail.com. That's openfloormail@gmail.com. Everybody stay safe. Everybody have a happy new year and continue to enjoy the NBA season.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.